Welcome to Hype episode 112. My name is Selena. I'm joined this week by Pam and Kyle for another show talking about the latest entertainment news and pop culture stories. We are, of course, Hypeable.com's flagship entertainment show. Hypeable is Hypable.com. So make sure you go there for all of your latest news. How are you guys doing? Kyle especially, who I haven't spoken to in years.
Ugh, I am great. Other than the fact that today I had to go to the dentist and get stuff done for two crowns, my teeth hurt a lot. Other than that, it's great.
Oh no.
Yeah.
That's so sad that you have to podcast now.
Well, it doesn't hurt too much to talk, thank gosh, but it just hurts to eat. So I won't eat while we podcast. So it will be fine.
Well, I'm happy that you won't eat while we podcast anyway, because okay. That's not generally considered good form. So we're going to start talking more about like what you guys have been doing in fandom, but we all, as always, want to remind everyone about the contact information if you want to leave us comments on this week's show or general what you want us to talk about, etc. You can do that on hypeable.com in our podcast section. You can do that on Twitter at hypeablehype, on Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com, and you can also go on our Instagram, which is hypepodcast, you know, on Instagram, instagram.com/hypepodcast. That's us. So How We Hype is where we tell you what we've been doing in fandom this past week. And since I like didn't let Pam tell us how she was doing just a minute ago, I'll let her go first. And you can say that too.
Well, I just figured Kyle was a little bit more important since we haven't heard from him in a while.
So I stayed quiet.
There's like been such a music dry spell this summer, I feel like, and all of a sudden, like all of this music's coming out. So I've been listening to a lot of music. Like I almost can't keep up with everything, and I certainly can't keep up with all of the stuff I've been listening to. As far as bringing it up on this show. But one album I did want to bring up, it's actually more of an EP. It's Carly Rae Jepsen's Emotion Side B. She actually released this almost a year to the date after she released her last album, Emotion. And I'm pretty sure I've said this before on the podcast, but it is probably like the best pop album of 2015. So if you haven't listened to that because you think it's all like, I really, 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 really like you and like Call Me Maybe, like it's not. It's amazing.
I love Call Me Maybe.
Well, then you'll love this. Like, I'm just saying that, like, I think a lot of people write her off because her, like, just like the hits that are on the radio, like, are not always indicative of the album. But it's like a similar sound. So if you're a fan of like pop music and stuff and you haven't listened to this album, please go check it out. It's really good. Anyway, back to my actual How We Hype. She released a B-side to her album. These are all songs that like didn't make it on the original. And it's aptly titled Emotion Side B. And it's like, I think it's like about 8 songs or something like that. They're all really great, all along the same vein of emotion. And more importantly, they're all really, really, really good. So it's actually kind of impressive that she had so much material to work with. She cut like all of these songs and then she released them and people are still like gravitating towards them. It's like there's no bad song. So if you're looking for something fun to listen to because we're still kind of in summer and you kind of want more of like that upbeat music before we go into fall and things start to get a little bit more like, you know, mellow and acoustic and stuff like that, I highly recommend checking that out. And I'll probably be back next week with another music recommendation because, like I said, there has been so much good music coming out and I'm slowly trying to inject all of that into the show as best I can. But
we appreciate it.
Listen to that because it's great.
So does she have a cover of Destiny's Child, Emotion?
Oh my gosh, if only. That's like basically the only thing that's missing.
I know.
But the song Emotion, which is on the original album, is actually pretty good. It's like that whole album is so great. It took me through like, I was kind of like late coming into it because I just like set it aside. So it took me like all through like winter last year and I was still listening to it this summer. It's just like, it's great. It's a great album.
Amazing. That's good to hear. So that was Carly Rae Jepsen's Emotion Side B.
Yes.
And Kyle, what do you have?
We just finished a book and I'm really happy because it's the first book that I finished, I think, in about a year.
And here was your resolution to read a book a month.
I know.
Listen, on air, recorded.
I'm trying. Okay, I finished one this month. So, no, I actually read it when I was on the plane to go see my friends in San Francisco. It's called I'm Thinking of Ending Things by Ian Reid, and it's I-A-I-N. So I think it's Ian. I think that's how you say it. So okay. It's really good. I actually got it at Comic-Con while we were all walking around. For the listeners who don't know, during one of the days at Comic-Con, Pam, Selena, Michal, and I were all like just walking around checking things out. And at Comic-Con, you can get free books, like just pick one up and like have it. And so this is one of the free books that they're giving out. And it's not about what you think it is. I know you're probably getting like really like suicidal thoughts on it, but it's actually like this mystery thriller type deal about this girl who's thinking about ending relationships with her boyfriend and she doesn't know how to go about it. And then things get weird.
Yeah, that's like a somewhat misleading title.
I know. You think so, but it's so hard to explain. Read it and then you'll understand it. It's really, really good. And
okay.
Yeah. So I'm really happy that this is the book that I read to get me back into reading because I've been in a funk. And then, of course, I'm just going to say my TV show of the week because I don't think I'll be here. RuPaul's Drag Race, amazing. All Stars season 2. The newest episode just came out tonight. I just finished it and it blew my mind. So if you guys don't watch RuPaul, watch it now because it's amazing.
This is one of those like American things that I'm aware of the name of it and I'm like semi aware of what it is, but I'm just like, what?
I know.
I have no idea what's happening, but it looks odd
and it feels like something that like I wouldn't be interested in. Or when you tell someone like, oh, it's a show about drag queens and like competing to be the best drag queen, you're like, okay. But it's like Top Model plus Project Runway plus.
I mean, like I have no interest in like Top Model and Project Runway, so this like feels like okay, more interesting to watch anyway. So
yeah,
cool. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
I like it.
Awesome. So my recommendation, going in a like somewhat different direction. Well, I also read a book, which is actually funny because I think I started this book in March. So I've had a little bit of a pause from my reading. I think I'm still on track to read a book a month on average because I read a lot of books at the start of the year, but then I've been so busy that someone tasked me with watching an entire run of Gilmore Girls, and that's been kind of taking up my time. But I finally finished Jane Eyre, which is obviously, like everyone knows, Jane Eyre is a book. And it's like, it was good, but I think I like fell a little bit out of it like as I went along, because the beginning I was so into it. I loved Jane. I loved that like heroine that was like reading and, you know, sort of had that like quiet, assertive strength and stuff. Like I'm very into God, what's her name? Why can't I remember? Jane? I mean, she also named Jane. Jane Austen. I'm really into Jane Austen. So I was like, Charlotte Bronte is like somewhat different, but I wanted to like compare them and see if I liked her books as much, and I did, and I thought it was really good, but I did think the ending was like kind of depressing and stuff. So I don't know how I felt about it overall, but I think I'm happy that I've read it finally, because I need to read more of the classics and not just YA. I need to, you know, because unlike a certain stupid writer person, like people who read Harry Potter don't just read Harry Potter, so I want to prove that to the world and to myself. So yeah, I'm happy I read it. I can recommend checking it out, although 1984 is like still my favorite book of all time. So there. I don't know if any of you guys have read Jane Eyre.
A very, very long time ago. I have a couple books that I need to get through that are like newer. But mm-hmm. I have been thinking about going back and rereading some of the classics. Specifically today, I made a comment on Twitter about the new trailer for In Dubious Battle, which is, of course, one of John Steinbeck's classic Dust Bowl novels. He wrote like a trilogy of Dust Bowl novels. Mm-hmm. And I never was one for Steinbeck in school. I started reading Steinbeck in middle school and like trudged through it in high school and stuff like that. And I don't know if it's because like the teachers that I had taught his material too young that I was like, I didn't appreciate a lot of the stuff. But yeah. Like I've been thinking about going back to reread some of it, and because I have gone back to reread things like Catcher in the Rye and The Sun Also Rises, things like that, and I have enjoyed them in a different way as an adult. So I kind of want to start doing what you're doing, which is like getting back to classics, because I read a lot of them. Like I went through a classics phase, but I was way too young to like really understand everything.
Yeah, that's how I feel about a lot of them. Like, when I think John Steinbeck, I feel, like, tortured. Because I'm like, no, I have to read.
And it's so hard, especially, like, I mean, I'm sure Kyle understands this, too, because, like, it's like, local history almost for, like, us in California. A lot of his books take place, like, not very far from where we grew up. Mm-hmm. It's like, you kind of, like, they embed it into the curriculum so early on, and you're reading like Steinbeck in like 6th, 7th grade when you should really be reading like Steinbeck a little bit later. So it is hard to digest, and I think that might be part of the reason why I was never a big fan of his. But maybe that'll change.
This is like such a tangent, but we had such an overzealous like or over enthusiastic, well, it's called Danish, but it's like literature teacher in school. So we started reading those classics in like 4th grade when we were like 10 or 9. So we were reading like Little Women and Steinbeck and 1984 and like all of those books from like a very, very young age. And it was just like very depressing.
I think like Animal Farm is the, like, I think that, like, I don't know, because I can, like, children's classics are a little easier to digest, but something harder, like, I think Animal Farm is the one that I remember reading the youngest. It was probably like my first real classic. And that was like around like 9 or 10 as well. So it's very odd that they, I don't know, I'm sure that kids these days are even more advanced, but looking back on it, you think like, wow, like they teach that to kids. And like, they're so like, they're almost too young to comprehend absolutely everything.
I know. I read that like last year and I was like, it's so clever.
Right. But then they pad it up with like the Jim Henson, like, like, you know, animatronic version of Animal Farm, and then it's all good. Yeah.
Anyway, that was your, you know, history book lesson.
The history of books,
Yes, the history of books. That's like a broad.
I know. Let's take you through everything we read in primary school. Oh my gosh.
That's an upcoming special, I'm sure.
Exactly.
And then Narima will be here and we'll just be here for like 10 hours. It'll be great. So, I mean, that brings us to the end of How We Hype. We sort of had a very well-rounded section of hype there. So you can hype classic. You can hype Jane Eyre. I say we should hype that some more.
Yeah.
I have this sweatshirt called I Like to Party, and by party, I read books. I felt like that was very appropriate.
I saw this shirt the other day that said, I'll be in my room making no noise and pretending that I don't exist, like the Harry Potter quote. And at the bottom it said, but at least I'll have my books.
That's amazing. So moving into news now, we actually have a very interesting lineup. And before we do, I just wanted to say that, just so I remind myself and you guys, that we got a tweet from Travel Eater who said, great podcast, but you should repeat the name of the book, singer, etc. at the end of each item so I don't need to rewind it. Thank you. This is very important. We should be doing that, because I often think when I'm editing the show, like, oh, what were we talking about? I don't remember. So I figure that some of listeners feel that way as well. So we will try to remind ourselves and each other to do that, which is why I'm saying it here, so we can all keep each other in check. Moving into the first story, Pam.
Yes, so we have some awesome news regarding the upcoming live adaptation of Beauty and the Beast that Disney is currently working on. We got our first kind of look at some concept art for some of the bigger characters. And this is so cool, especially if you're a fan of the original version that came out in the late 90s, because it really kind of shows how true to their original vision of Beauty and the Beast they have like stuck to. Emma Watson is Belle. She's like wearing the traditional blue and white dress situation that she's got in the opening Bonjour scene. And we also get a little peek at Cogsworth and Lumiere, and they look very similar to the animated counterparts that they're basing them on. We get a nice little sneak peek at LeFou and Gaston in the what is it, like the bar that he sings Gaston in. And we also get a look at the Beast, but in his human form. So I'm sure they're saving his beastly form for some kind of grand epic reveal, probably in like the theatrical trailer or something like that. But it's really fun to see. So if you want to check out those pictures, they're all wonderful and they're all over on hypeable.com. And then following that, they also released a very short live action sneak peek bonus clip. All of this new footage is actually coming from the upcoming re-release of Beauty and the Beast on DVD. It's a special 25th anniversary edition of the classic animated film, and that's set to come out on September 6th. So in this short clip, we get a feel for Emma Watson and Dan Stevens, who play Belle and Beast, kind of reading alongside each other. It is a table read because, of course, they don't want to give too much away before the big trailer hits. But it is a really, really fun clip. And if you want to kind of get a feel for their chemistry, which it sounds like they have a lot of, it's a really, really cute scene. And they're just talking about reading and they're talking about King Arthur and the Round Table. So, of course, that makes Selena and I very excited.
I was very excited.
Yeah, it's really cute. You guys have seen it, right?
Yes.
So yeah, lots of fun. I don't know how to end this.
Silence.
Lots of fun Beauty and the Beast stuff coming out slowly. So again, head over to hypebull.com to check out all of that stuff. And remember that Beauty and the Beast hits theaters on March 17th. So we've got about maybe half a year to go or so.
Yeah,
we're coming up on it.
I did actually have a comment. I thought you were just asking like, so you've seen it, right? And then I was like, yes. And then you were like, so do you think? Anyway, I don't know why I thought the conversation was going that way. I was just going to say, I really loved what Bill Condon had to say about why Disney is doing this, because I felt like it was a nice bit of like, cut the BS, because he said, oh, well, you know, you always wonder, like, is it safe to go back to like a classic that is so perfect? And he said, yes, because the visual effects are up to a point that they are in order to realize this incredible magical world that Beauty and the Beast sort of conceived when it was a cartoon. And I think that's why Disney is doing this, you know, because we're basically sitting here like, oh, I can't wait to see like how they basically retell the exact same story. And we're like excited about the fact that it's going to look the same. And I'm like, part of me is like, oh, why am I like excited for this thing that's just a regurgitation of a story I already know? But then I think, well, film is a visual medium, so the fact that they're doing this for a visual experience, like when you go to see a theater performance of something, you know, it's not the story you go for, it's the overall experience. So I think that sort of put things into context for me.
And that's actually a very good point, because I have very vivid memories of, I don't know if you guys remember, but back when Disney used to put out the VHS tapes for all the animated movies, you know, they were released, like, we had to wait a while, but every once in a while you would get a preview for the movie they were working on next. And mm-hmm. I think it was like the one right before Beauty and the Beast was talking about Beauty and the Beast. And they were so excited because they had used computers for like the first time, I think, if I remember correctly,
to I remember
create
this.
That sweeping ballroom scene where they're like dancing to the signature Beauty and the Beast song. And they were so excited about getting to play with this new technology to create something that we would never have been able to see on screen had the technology not existed. So it's kind of like a come full circle moment for them to be saying, now we can visualize it in a different way because the technology is there again. So that's really, really cool.
Yeah, I mm-hmm. definitely remember that. I'm so excited. It's so weird, but I agree. It's just going to be really pretty.
yeah, basically, it's going to be really pretty, and we're excited. So the next story is going to be really pretty as well, guys. I can't believe I said that. I apologize to the universe. We have a interesting, fun rumor to discuss, which we also reported on Hypebull, which is a alleged shortlist for the actors who would next play James Bond has been released. There's a lot of reasons to doubt this list. For one, it comes from The Sun, which, while sometimes accurate, is also known for, you know, making stuff up. And second of all, the list is almost too good to be true, because it includes, like, it's 7007 people, which I thought was funny, and it includes like every single person that has been even like vaguely, you know, talked about as a fan favorite for the role, except Gillian Anderson, which I was very upset about, but whatever. So the candidates, I figure I'll read them out, and then you guys can say like your favorite candidate and if there's anyone that you absolutely do not want to play this role. So, obviously, Tom Hiddleston is on this list. Idris Elba is on this list. Michael Fassbender. Luke Evans, who was actually in Beauty and the Beast, by the way. Charlie Hunnam. Everyone's King Arthur, apparently. James Norton and Jamie Bell. So a couple of young choices near the end. I think James Norton is the one that listeners might not know. He's a British TV actor. He's been in the War and Peace miniseries and Happy Valley. And Jamie Bell, obviously, was most recently in Fantastic Four. And he was also Billy Elliot. So let's talk about this. I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, presuming that this list represents candidates that might actually get this role, what do you think? Who would be your dream pick?
From this list?
Yes.
You know,
it's hard.
Okay, well, I actually, I had never thought about Michael Fassbender, but I like the idea of Michael Fassbender now that his name is being, like, thrown into the mix. Because I think that he toes the line between delicate and rugged in a way that Daniel Craig was not personally able to do for me. I like my Bonds to be a little bit more, I guess, debonair, if that makes sense. I'm very picky when it comes to James Bond. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. I never really liked, like, the super rugged James Bonds. So for me, I feel like Fassbender is a really nice mix of both. You kind of have, like, that idea, like, that Tom Hiddleston type look that people might be gravitating towards. But at the same time, he's not, like, super, super, like, you know, delicate. I guess that's, like, the only way I can think of to explain myself. But, yeah, I don't know. It's, like, Bond is, like, it's so hard. And also, I feel like we keep getting one of these alleged lists, like, every couple of months. So I don't even know what to believe anymore.
Yeah, I know. There's always a new rumor about the next Bond, always. I have no opinion.
Also, Fassbender is going to be in the new Assassin's Creed movies.
Mm-hmm.
So if he is, like, an actual contender, it'll be, like, good to see him, like, in a really, really big action movie before that, because you'll kind of get a feel for something similar but different, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I feel like Jamie Bell, too young. Charlie Hunnam, too rugged for me. I feel like he's very, very similar
he's
to Daniel Craig.
Like, yeah, Daniel Craig, yeah. Exactly. I noted that as well.
James Norton, I have admittedly not seen War and Peace, although I have, like, heard of it. Definitely, like, he's very much more like the Pierce Brosnan type of Bond. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I think we've already talked about Elba and Hiddleston. Like, we've beat them.
Like, mean... I will just add to that. I think for me, this list is interesting because for one, there is a clear choice for me, and that's Idris Elba. And everyone else is just like, meh. Like, I see your point about Michael Fassbender, and I definitely would much rather have Michael Fassbender than Tom Hiddleston, who it seems like it's gonna be. Like, I know he says it's not, but I think that's just to throw people off the track. Like, I think it's gonna be Tom Hiddleston, which is is fine. But I'm not going to be very into that. I think what it is about Idris Elba, and I don't know if you guys have seen Luther, but I think the kind of depth, I actually, in my article, I compared him to more of a Roger Moore kind of Bond, because I feel like he has a gravitas about him he commands the space in a way that I think Bond can do, like, and it's not a criticism of any of, like, of either Pierce Brosnan or Daniel Craig. Daniel Craig maybe worked a little bit better in that regard for me, because he sort of, they're just there, like, part of the scenery almost, and, like, they come in and they shoot some guns, but they don't have that, like, oh my god, it's Bond, like, that feeling of, like, this very special person in the narrative has just arrived. And I feel like having someone like Idris Elba, like, he feels like he can command a title like that, which at this point, after so many Bonds and so many incarnations, like, we don't need just another, like, oh, look, he's a cute British accent. No, he looks good in a suit, blah, blah, blah. Like, we need someone who can come in and be like, oh my God, it's Bond. I feel like that's, like, and I think that he can do that. And I don't think that anyone else on this list can do that. Like, I'm looking at someone like Luke Evans, like, he's fine, but he's not Bond. He's just a guy, you know, he's just an actor. And same for, like, Charlie Hunnam. I think for James Norton and Jamie Bell, they are so young. And if they, like, James Norton is 85 and Jamie Bell is 86, I think. And it's like, if they, I said in my article, if they cast Jamie Bell, for example, they would do this, like, Sherlock-ish bromance with Q, Ben Whishaw, you know, it would just be these two young dudes running around, like, Kingsman style, but without the comedy. And I'm like, I'm not, I would not be into them skewing younger for this role, like that much younger.
It's funny that you mentioned younger, though, because like my brother and I talked about this in great detail when Tom Hiddleston was announced, and it's like a lot of these younger actors, like speaking of Kingsman, like Taron Egerton, like in like 10 years could probably do a really nice job playing Bond. Mm-hmm. Like Jack O'Connell, who was on Skins and also is he was in Money Monster recently and has done a bunch of other stuff. I feel like they have the intensity to play Bond later, but like, you're mm-hmm. right. Like Bond really needs to be like a little bit older, a little bit more like a citizen commanding of the world, which like, and it is like, I find it very interesting, that you mention that you feel like Idris Elba is very similar to Roger Moore, because barring Sean Connery, who was like the original Bond, Roger Moore is probably like my second favorite Bond of like mm-hmm. the bunch. So I am like, I'm a little bit more intrigued by the idea because you've said that, and I might have to go watch some Luther episodes because I've mm-hmm. I've never really been quite sold on him as Bond. Yeah. But you might have just convinced me to perhaps open my mind to the idea.
Yeah. And obviously, like, we should say there are people who are like, oh, he's black, he can't play Bond. But like, I wish people didn't say that. Like, obviously I do, but I feel like James Bond is a character that if you start like, oh, he can't be Bond because his skin is black. Like, what? No, what?
I mean, at the end of the day,
that has nothing to do with who the character is.
It's almost like James Bond is kind of like an alias, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it doesn't really, you're right.
But also, like, the fact that they've recast him like 10 times, it's like you have already changed the DNA of this character so many times. You've made him Scottish, you've made him English, you've made him blue eyed, you've made him brown eyed, you've made him blonde. Like, let's just, you know, let's get over ourselves. And this needs to be an actor that can capture the room as Bond, and that's it. You know, and he needs to be British. That's it.
That's basically the only rule. Is like he can't be like American, mm-hmm, which is so funny mm-hmm. because, you know, so many of our American superheroes are now British. But yeah.
Yes. Anyway, so let's move on to another story.
Right. Well, we all know, or we should know by now, that they're making Jumanji. They're making a remake of Jumanji.
It's not a remake.
Okay.
The Rock is very specific about that.
It's a sequel. It's a Jumanji sequel. Yep. So we're not trying to redo Robin Williams' great
Absolutely
movie.
Not. No way. Absolutely not. Put and your pitchforks down.
There's a lot of debate over whether or not this should be done, if it's going to be good. But I think the latest edition actually got me really excited for it personally. Karen Gillan has officially joined the cast of this Jumanji sequel in the most important role. We have to find a girl, but not just any girl, he says. Apparently she has to have what he calls chutzpah. And I don't know. I feel like it's going to be really good because Karen Gillan, I love her. And I feel like I can imagine her playing a really great character in the Jumanji world. Like, absolutely. I mean, we've seen her freak out during Doctor Who. I can imagine her freaking out during Jumanji, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Does this make you happy or upset?
It's so funny because I have two completely conflicting reactions to this story. First of all, I love Karen Gillan. I think she is spectacular and funny and amazing, and I'm just so happy that she's being cast. On the other hand, The Rock's statement, "we had to find a girl," just like infuriates me on like a primal level, because it's like, he's right. They did. They have a cast of dudes for this dude comedy that it's gonna be. You know, they have Jack Black and Nick Jonas and what's the last guy?
Kevin Hart
as well. Yeah, exactly. And then The Rock. And then they're like, oh yeah, we had to find a girl, but not just any girl. She has to be able to compete with us dudes. And I'm like, I know that's how Hollywood works, but I don't appreciate it being fed to me as a line that I have to accept because that's the way it is. Anyway, all that aside, politics, whatever, Karen Gillan is amazing. And I might watch it just for her. So it worked.
Yeah, right.
I like The Rock otherwise. We were like freaking out about his alarm clock. I'm very upset that he said this.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because I liked everything else you said about how she's like, she can hold her own because that's, like, you know, as an actor. But that line, like, we had to find a girl, is like, it tripped me up too. But if it makes I'm not going to say that. Never mind. But yeah, I just thought it is like a weird thing to say. Like he could have just said, like, because everything else he said about her was beautiful. Like, she's the most important person. Like, she's playing a big role. She, you know, she's this and this. Like, for everybody that hasn't heard about her, it's high praise from somebody that is kind of like a superstar, or The Rock is a superstar. But it's just that one line that was like, wait, but what?
I
totally paused to think about it too. I was like, this is a beautiful little like thing about Karen Gillan, but you could have nixed that line.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Agreed.
Okay. So we actually have to move into a little bit of sadder news. We lost a comedy legend at the beginning of the week. Actor Gene Wilder passed away on August 29th from complications with Alzheimer's. He'd been battling that for a while. And this news really shook a lot of people. Of course, I think a lot of younger people will, of course, know Wilder from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. That's like one of his bigger movies. But he just has such a wide repertoire of like films to his name. Of course, he worked a lot with Mel Brooks, so Blazing Saddles. He was in the original Producers. He was a young Frankenstein. And he was just, I mean, like, nobody could really do what he did in comedy. He had his own way of doing things, and it was so lovely. And so it was so sad to hear that he had finally passed, although he did live to be 83. So that's a pretty long life. But I know that, like, Hollywood took it really hard. I know, like, some of our staff was really gutted to hear about this, and he'll definitely be missed. So rest in peace, Gene Wilder, and think might have to bust out some of those old movies and, you know, take a trip down memory lane, because he just did some great roles in his time. So
you did. Some of his movies are coming back to theaters now, which I think is amazing.
That's right. Like,
at the end of the day, this is so sad, but you can't ask for anything but a long life and a great career like that. And he was 83 and stuff, so this is almost like bittersweet, because, you know,
exactly.
Yeah, we should all be that hashtag lucky. Was that a terrible transition to the next story? I think so. Oh my gosh. Okay, there's no save. So let's just move on. So the heist film Logan Lucky just had an addition of a cast member that we all know and love, named Sebastian Stan. The movie is directed by Steven Soderbergh, and it's actually, you know, Soderbergh? I think it's Soderbergh. And it's actually very similar to some other movies you may have heard of that he did called Ocean's 11. It's called Logan Lucky, as I said, and it's a NASCAR-themed heist movie. It centers on two brothers who plan a crime during a race in Charlotte, NC, and Sebastian Stan will be playing a three-time Sprint Cup champion driver who is returning to the sport after some time away, and he's joining a cast of Daniel Craig, Hilary Swank, Channing Tatum, Katherine Heigl, Adam Driver, and Seth MacFarlane, and it's Jack Quaid, Brian Gleeson, and No, that's Donald Gleason's brother. Donald himself is not in the movie. And this is like a very interesting project, a very interesting cast. Someone on Twitter made a note that, like, this is just like Chris Hemsworth starring in Rush. It's like all the Marvel actors are doing these race movies because they're so manly. And I think that's hilarious. And I mean, it's funny because there is obviously another Ocean's film coming out with a all-female cast, which is produced by Steven Soderbergh. So this has a slight tinge of, do you remember when they were doing a, when they were announcing the all-female Ghostbusters and original director Ivan Reitman was talking about, like, doing another Ghostbusters with Channing Tatum and someone else. And it was, like, very awkward timing, and but this seems like awkward timing as well, but of course the two movies can easily stand side by side, and it actually sounds like a great project, and Sebastian Stan is in it, so I mean, I'm gonna watch it, let's be real.
I was going to say, this has everything you need in this world, which is just namely Sebastian Stan.
That's it. I mean, really, like, all you have to do is say Sebastian Stan's in it, and you got, like, a bunch of people who are like, okay, down, I'm done.
I know. Yeah. Why can't he play James Bond?
Right?
Because he's not British. That's, the one box you have to tick.
I would actually watch James Bond if he was in it.
Yeah. He could be the villain. That would be fine.
Oh, I'd be down for that.
Yes, me too. Anyway, let's just cast Sebastian Stan and all the project. No, but do you guys have any thoughts on this specific Logan Lucky story?
I'm a sucker for heist films, so I'll probably go see this.
Mm-hmm. Same. I really love a good heist.
I'm kind of wondering if, like, oh, no, never mind. I got it confused with somebody else. I was going to say, I wonder, you know how, like, heist films can either be, like, super serious or, like, really funny? Mm-hmm. I'm kind of wondering which one this will be. But I guess
It's interesting because there's a lot, like the actors I listed, they could go either way, most of them. Like, they can both be really funny and they can be really serious, like all of them. Craig and Hilary Swank, Channing Tatum, Katherine Heigl, Adam Driver, Seth MacFarlane, Jack Quaid. It's like, and Sebastian Stan, like, you know, you just don't know. But it's funny, like, it's NASCAR-themed heist movie. Like, what are they going to steal the race?
I feel like it's going to be like The Fast and the Furious meets The Italian Job.
Probably.
That's my guess.
It's your pitch. Perfect. So yeah, very exciting all around. That's Sebastian Stan in Logan Lucky.
Moving on to TV news, we have some interesting news about a new pilot that ABC picked up. And when I read the article title, I was instantly very afraid. Because the title is, the headline is ABC and Kerry Washington teaming up for a female-led cop drama called Patrol. And if you were anything like me when you read this, you were going to like, what about Scandal? What do you mean Kerry Washington is doing a new TV show? Like, Scandal isn't even canceled yet. Calm down. Take a deep breath. Do what I did. You know? She's not going to be acting in it. She's actually going to be doing the executive producing of this show as part of a contract that she made with ABC last year to produce new content for them. So Scandal is still happening, but it's going to be on top of this new show. And this new show actually sounds really great. It's a workplace drama about four female LAPD officers who attended the police academy together 5 years ago, and they're forced to reconnect after a high-stakes traumatic secret returns to haunt them. So it's very much kind of like Quantico, where they all went to the FBI training place and they have to deal with this thing that happened several years ago. So I'm excited because I love Kerry Washington, and I feel like she has the brain power to put something epic together, and it's going to be very intriguing to see how they go about this. Are you guys excited? Or are you guys kind of like done with cop shows? Because there's so many cop shows on TV.
I don't do procedurals.
Really?
I just don't. Like, this sounds great. This sounds like a good thing. But I don't. Like, I can't. Like, there's no point. I don't think there's a point in watching them. Like, it's weird. Like, if it's just like the same thing over and over again, I'm like, meh.
Hmm.
So yeah. It's not about her or the project specifically. It's just, I hear the word procedural and my brain just checks out.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Which is unfortunate considering a story that I have coming up.
I was going to say, are you sure you don't do procedurals? We'll see.
We'll see. Anyway, no, it sounds good. It sounds like a good thing.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, so we've got a little bit of bad news if you're a fan of Pretty Little Liars. The longstanding Freeform show, well, kind of longstanding, it's been around for 6 seasons, is officially going to be ending after season 7, which is coming up next spring. This is something that fans have kind of been expecting for a while because the showrunner, Marlene King, I want to call her Marlene McKinnon. I've got Harry Potter on the brain. Marlene King, she had kind of been teasing that she was thinking about wrapping things up in 7 seasons. So now we finally got confirmation that that is indeed happening. King, as well as the entire cast, or rather like the five main liars, so to speak, they all took to Facebook Live to officially announce that season 7 would be the show's last to fans all over the world, which was a really nice way to do it, I think. But the good news is that we are going to get like a huge like finale wrap up. They're planning to wrap things up in a 2-hour season finale. So it's kind of going to be movie like. King said in an interview later with, I think it was TV Line, that she kind of like when she was sitting down to write it, or when they've been planning it out, she has been planning it out like a movie. So it is going to be kind of like a mini movie. That being said, she also said in that in an earlier interview that she's not really like planning to completely like close the door on the series. So there is a possibility in like 5-10 years or whatever, if she feels like, revisiting all of these girls, like they might be doing that later, because the idea of a Pretty Little Liars movie, like an official movie, has been tossed around. They've talked about it a bunch, so we'll see what happens. Of course, the finale actually aired, like the season finale aired earlier this week, so everybody's kind of sitting at the edge of their seats trying to figure out where the show's going to go from here. But yeah, looks like we'll be saying goodbye to Rosewood in about 10. Well, the 10 episode run is going to start in April, so
see,
yeah.
I'm just baffled that it didn't end when they announced who A was. Like,
well, you know, there's been like Uber A and like A Supreme, and, like,
A plus.
You never really like. Gosh. You always think you know who A is, but like it's actually just somebody that's pulling the wool over everybody's eyes. Yeah, I mean, like it's a fun show. I actually, admittedly, have not. I'm not caught up with this past season, but I like to have it on in the background. It is kind of silly that like they never think to do things like save copies of the USB drives that they find or things like that. But it is like fun television. So
yeah, I just started it actually.
Oh, really? Do you like it?
Yeah, I do. I like it a lot. I think it's really entertaining. It's great. Work TV, so I put it on while I'm working at Apple, so it's just like it's really great to have in the background, and just like something happens and I turn my head, I'm like, wait, what? I'm excited for the fact that it's ending, because this means if I take my sweet time, that maybe if I stretch it out long enough, I can binge watch the entire series. So I'm down for
that. I think that is a doable feat, considering you have until basically April. Like April is when the final season starts. So
yeah,
I feel like, and even if you were a little bit behind, you could definitely still catch up before the final episode airs. So yeah. Get in on the hype now.
Yeah, seriously.
Get the hype while it's hyping. Okay, well that's cool. So
ooh. Wow, sorry.
They're
partying. That was someone outside.
Yeah. So sad. Oh my god. So sad things for Pretty Little Liars fans, but maybe they can jump to the show that everyone's talking about, which is Stranger Things on Netflix. To the surprise of nobody, Netflix has announced that Stranger Things is getting a season 2. So the news came on Wednesday morning, along with the titles of the 9 episodes of the second season, which are Mad Max, The Boy Who Came Back to Life, The Pumpkin Patch, The Palace, The Storm, The Pollywog, The Secret Cabin, The Brain, and The Lost Brother. And Netflix has not yet confirmed if any cast members, aside from, you know, Barb, are not returning, but they have said that there will be 4 new cast members coming. The Duffer brothers have been speaking about a potential time jump, either a year or even further into the future, where like the kids are older and it's a different decade, although that probably would not be for season 2, because they'll want to keep their original cast as they are, and these kids could not play themselves 10 years later, obviously. So this is great news. I know that Kyle in particular probably is very excited about this.
I mean, ever since I finished the series, I knew it was going to get renewed for season 2 when I saw the insane reaction it got from social media and all my friends and everything. I was like, it's pretty much guaranteed. And now it is official. I am so excited that I'm going to try and plan a hype special for Stranger Things coming up. So that should be really interesting. If you guys haven't seen Stranger Things, definitely watch it soon so that you can listen to our special, which should be coming up relatively soon. Also, I just have to mention Jimmy Fallon did a hysterical skit with the actual kids from Stranger Things. And they did a thing where if Barb had come back, and like from the upside down, and it's amazing. So if you haven't seen the Jimmy Fallon Barb skit, you really have to go look at that right now.
Yeah. He also he interviewed them the day later, and that interview was amazing. Like, the whole cast was back, and then they played a fun little game and stuff like that. So I don't know if you've seen that yet, Kyle, but it's amazing.
No. I saw the other clip, good. But I haven't seen the interview.
Their interview was on last night, and it's great. But yeah, I agree. The show is really good. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in season two, because they've set the bar so high for themselves, so this is pretty... This is going to be a lofty feat to top by the Duffer brothers.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know. I said that in the thing as well, that like Netflix series are fantastic, but I have a sense that their second seasons, as a general rule, are not living up to the hype of the first. Like, unlike obviously the big ones like Orange is the New Black and House of Cards. Like, it seems like there's been a lot recently that have kind of petered off in season two, so I hope that Stranger Things is not going to be like that.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah, and we'll have lots more discussion about that on the upcoming hype special that you guys have requested and that we made happen just for you.
Yep. Yay! And moving on from new show that got renewed to new show that just got created, Jeff Davis, creator of Teen Wolf, just got his pilot approved and picked up by TNT. The pilot is called Let the Right One In, and it's based off a book series which once had a really successful, I think it was movie previously. And it's basically about vampires. So he's moving from werewolves to vampires. The story follows a boy and a female vampire who lives in secrecy with her mysterious guardian. And when a series of strange murders pop up in their small town, it attracts the attention of a federal marshal with a mysterious past of his own. So people are skeptical because Teen Wolf was great and it was awesome. But as Teen Wolf continued, the quality degraded. So we're wondering whether or not this is going to be as good as it was when Teen Wolf first came out, or if it's going to be the current quality of Teen Wolf, which isn't necessarily the best, but it's still fun. So I'm really excited. I think vampires are great, and even though the vampire fad is almost basically over, TNT hasn't really had a chance to look at it yet, so I mean, give them a shot.
And that's the only thing, is like, it's weird with the Vampire Diaries ending and Twilight is over and like everything is kind of like, yeah, no, vampires aren't cool anymore, and then this one comes along. I have hopes, you know. I know that a lot of Teen Wolf fans are going to be moving over to this, so I'm hoping for the best.
Yeah. And it's going to be an interesting network to try and catch it on, because I feel like not a lot of people watch TNT TV shows, so hopefully it does well. Mm-hmm.
So we have got a little bit of Outlander casting news for you guys today as well. Of course, we're all suffering from Droughtlander because it's going to be a while before we get over to season three. But we do have a new Lord John Grey that's joining the cast. There's going to be a significant time jump when we get back to Jamie and Claire's story. The series is actually set to take a 20-year time jump, and so that is why old Lord John Grey actor Oscar Kennedy will no longer be able to play the role. So now we've got this new guy. His name is David Barry. He's an Australian actor. He has been in a series called A Place to Call Home, which I have never seen. But if you're interested in kind of learning a little bit more about him, we do have an interview up with him over on Hypeable.com if you just kind of want to get a feel for what he's going to be like. We, you know, of course, don't want to spoil anything for those of you that have not read the books, or, you know, because if you have read the books, then you'll know that Lord John Grey is kind of like a bigger character in the series. He does play a significant role in Jamie's life from this point forward. So it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, he comes across. And it'll be fun to see kind of a new actor take up the mantle of this role. And
it's really interesting because the girls from That's Normal, who I do the podcast with, Hang Outlander, they all like messaged me and you're like, you don't know who this is, but you're gonna want to. And I was like, oh, I'm very excited. I don't know who this is, but he's very pretty. And Outlander has a tendency to make actors, like, they have characters that have grown up in the future and that were previously, like, little boys in the past. And I told this on Hangout Lender, but it makes me feel so weird when they take a kid, turn him into an adult, and I'm like, I find it wrong that I find the adult attractive. It's normal, but it's weird.
Because you met them when they were babies.
When they were a kid, kind of, you know? Yeah. It's
Oh, that's cute. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
So, Kyle, I know you have to run off now. Do you want to really quickly give your final story?
Yeah, absolutely. This one's actually one of the most stories I'm most excited about. Bill Nye is coming to Netflix with his own talk show. I'm super stoked because as a kid, I used to watch Bill Nye all the time because if you grew up in the 90s, you know Bill Nye as the science guy. And every one of his little episodes and like things that taught you about science was really, really awesome. So it's going to be interesting to see him do a talk show on Netflix. And I'm very interested as to how they're going to work out the talk show style on Netflix, because Netflix has a tendency to just like promote everything all at once. They do all the episodes. So I don't know if they're just going to do...
Oh, I was just going to say very quickly, like, Chelsea Handler has a talk show right now, and she does release episodes twice a week or three times a week. So,
oh, is that on Netflix?
Yeah, it is possible.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good to know. Well, I'm very happy because I was very confused about how that was going to work out. But I was like, I mean, if that means I get to binge watch Bill Nye, I'm down. So, it's going to be really great. And with that, I do have to go, but it was so fun to be here. You guys are awesome. Watch out for the Stranger Things special coming your way.
Cool. Okay.
All right.
Kyle is running off before our last story because he hates it so much.
I'm sorry.
Bye, Kyle.
Bye.
Don't forget to send me your file before you go.
I will.
Because otherwise I can't edit. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. I was going to joke, be like, oh, well, I guess I'll leave too because I don't know how to feel about this story. I'm just kidding.
I think I'm going to go too, guys.
I have been waiting to talk about this with you specifically.
Okay. So this is what it all boils down to, guys. The whole show has been building towards this final news story, which is Fox is reimagining King Arthur the King Arthur tale with police procedural Camelot. So, you know that legend, King Arthur? Like, I feel like we just don't really get enough stories of it. So, it's really great that there's going to be a TV show. This is crazy, you guys. Not only are we getting that ridiculous From the Streets movie, we're also going to get a police procedural titled Camelot. So some more details about this amazing, incredible story that almost rivals Charlie Hunnam levels of ridiculousness. Camelot is showing a different side of the well-known hero. The pitch reads, when an ancient magic reawakens in modern-day Manhattan, a graffiti artist named Art must team with his best friend Lance and his ex Gwen, an idealistic cop, in order to realize his destiny and fight back against the evil forces that threaten the city. I have two words for you, Pam. First of all, do you have the same sense that you have definitely read this fanfic? And two, why did we not think of this?
I definitely feel like if I have not read this fanfic, I have walked by this fanfic. And by walk by, I mean I have seen it in passing.
Oh my
God. If you have for sure read this fanfic, please send it in because we'd love to take a look.
I mean, all that's missing is somewhere in there, you know, the mysterious detective Merlin has to work with them, and sparks fly.
And then the revolutionary thing is going to be that Merlin is super young and hot now. Like, that's my gosh.
Totally.
You know, you mentioned something like, why didn't we think about this? I feel like since Hollywood is hell-bent on resurrecting Arthur, like, maybe we should put our own pitch out there.
I know, it would probably
get greenlit.
We're laughing about this and calling it ridiculous, but let's get real. The people that put this together, Dan Frey and Rue Summer, are geniuses. And we're really just bitter that we didn't think to find some AU fanfic concept and turn it into a TV show. Because, as you said, King Arthur for some reason, is just being done again and again and again. And it seems like anything, literally anything goes when it comes to this particular story.
We have reached the age of Arthur again, I feel like. Yes. I mean, like, seriously. Between this and then, like, T.A. Barron's Merlin series, you've got the Charlie Hunnam from the streets to the whatever, wherever he goes. I can't remember. That's
all I can think of. Where was that going?
I don't know. I didn't want to say it, but you said it for me. Then there's this, and then you have the Sword and the Stone live action, which I have not forgotten about, Disney. And yeah, it just feels like we're being inundated with Arthur, which is all well and good, but like, not our Arthur.
But this is so stupid, because these are all like posers. Like, you know, we're still waiting. Like, if in all of this Arthurian nonsense, why can't we have just one Merlin TV special? This is ridiculous, especially because, like, when I see this pitch, like, it vaguely sort of offensively reminds me of Damien a little bit, except for the whole demon thing. Mm-hmm. But,
except
you know,
he's a journalist, but he does have, like, that cop enemy guy, so it would work. Yeah.
So, and let's talk about, like, there's no sign of Merlin in this whatsoever, although they'll probably make him the police chief or something. But it does say an ancient magic reawakens in modern day Manhattan, which I guess kind of makes it more interesting. Maybe it's going to be kind of like Lucifer.
You know, I was thinking it was going to be either a cross between, like, probably a cross between, like, Lucifer and Sleepy Hollow, which is also on Fox. Mm. Actually, both of those shows are on Fox, aren't they? Now that I'm thinking about it. So, I can only imagine it's going to be something like that. I guess fighting the paranormal. For a minute, I thought that this was similar to a novel by Peter David called Nightlife, but then I just looked it up and I realized I was mistaken. Although, if anybody is interested in reading, like, a modern, like, book about King Arthur, in Peter David's novel, he comes back and he's got to write the United States by running for mayor of New York City. So it's kind of like political, like this is going to be, I'm sure, but not really. So that's a really fun read if you're interested in that.
I mean, right. And like there's some interesting things that you could go into speculating about a little bit if you were interested in stuff like this is like, because like, quote unquote, art. I've definitely read that in the fanfic, by the way. He must team up with Lance and Gwen to realize his destiny and fight back against the evil forces. So is he like, is this a reincarnation story? Is that what we're thinking?
You know,
or is it like,
I just realized that he also comes from the streets, just like Charlie Hunnam.
He does come from the streets.
So
oh, my God. Oh my God. It's true.
Well, I guess it's playing up to the idea of like T.H. White's like Sword in the Stone, where like Arthur is kind of like the squire. So he's not very high up in the ranks, but then he ends up becoming high up in the ranks. So I'm kind of wondering. It's going to be interesting to see.
And where is Merlin?
I don't understand.
This is so strange. Hashtag where's Merlin?
You know what? Merlin is totally going to be like the police chief, and he's going to take him under his wing, and he's going to be like, "No, Lancelot, like you must work with him. It's going to be fine." Like, just
where's the dragon?
He's locked in the sewers of New York City.
Oh no! Oh my God! Could you imagine? Arthur! And he like runs down.
Oh my gosh.
Like, oh my God, it'd be so
he's
funny.
Just hearing voices that nobody else can hear.
I think what we're saying is they need to hire us as writers in the show. And
basically, Fox, if you need ideas, we've got them. Also, plenty. You know what would be really cool if like if there was a dragon and he was like this statue in Central Park?
Yeah.
That would be the best. Yeah. Or in like a museum, like a statue in a museum, and every time like he needed advice, like he had to go to this like one place to get it. That'd be cool.
Is it student prints?
I don't know. They're all like melding together. No, that's a door. Together. Is it a door?
Oh, is it? Oh,
I don't know. It just need to become a
plain
one.
It is adorable.
I don't know. It is.
Anyway, what we're saying is this from the streets thing is weird. 2, hire us as writers. And C, just to keep the theme, needs more Merthyr.
That's
like our
exactly.
notes, right?
D, bonus points if you figure out how to get Bradley James attached as your Arthur.
Oh, of course, of course. Like that's basically what it comes down to. Like I'm very excited to follow this. Like let's get real. This is like my favorite thing.
I know. Like we're like kind of making fun of it right now because pitches are really easy to do that with. But like you can bet we'll be tuning into this and we will see.
And this like has the potential to be really good. It gets real. Like this is a good idea. It's just about whether it'll be realized correctly, which I guess we'll wait and see about. By the way, all the comments for this are like, I want Merlin back.
Don't we all?
Amazing. So anyway, that wraps up the news. Thank you so much for sticking with us. You can find all of these news stories on Hypeable, along with a lot more that we did not get to talk about today, including Jim Broadbent's casting in Game of Thrones, the first image from Sherlock season 4. There's a new Doctor Strange sneak peek. There's news about a potential Marvel series starring Squirrel Girl. And there's just so much Deathstroke in Batman, everything. It's all on Hypeable, and you can also find the link for this podcast, and please subscribe on iTunes if you are not yet. That really helps us out in the ratings. So, TV show of the week, Pam, what have you got?
I feel like I meant to talk about this last week, but I didn't. The Great British Bake Off started again. We're two episodes in to the season, and I don't know what it is about this show. I just find it so charming, and it kind of relaxes me in a really weird way. Also, I really like it because it makes me feel like I too can bake. Like, maybe not as well as some of these guys, but I get inspired to like go into the kitchen, and I just love this show. I like live for Mary Berry's sass and Paul Hollywood's just like everything. It's just wonderful. So if you're not watching The Great British Bake Off, you should definitely check it out. If you have no idea what this show is about, our staff writer Donia wrote up this quick and dirty guide to The Great British Bake Off. It's over on hypeable.com.
So she's a super fan.
Mm-hmm. But if you're looking to kind of like jump into it, you might want to read her article first, kind of figure out what's going down, and then you can, you know, stream the episodes later. But yeah, it's great. And it's off to a great start.
If like me, you're like a baking show, are you guys serious? Like, apparently, I haven't watched it, but apparently this is like the best show ever, and the baking is just like the setting for incredible stuff to happen.
You know, I may or may not have teared up a little bit during a fair few finale episodes, so it just gets, you get so invested in these people and you want them to do so well. And that, you know, everybody's like so genuinely nice, and like, it's just really nice. It's a nice shift from the baking shows that we have here in America, so.
That's awesome, and I'm pretty sure that I've read a Merlin fanfic of Great British Bake Off. Merlin and Arthur make cakes.
What is it, you know, a fanfiction these days?
I know. Fanfic is the best, guys. Hashtag read more fanfic. And I don't have anything except, like, I recently started watching Friends again, which is, like,
cool.
Really random, but I'm caught up on Gilmore Girls now. Like, I'm done. And I accidentally started watching season 6 because I didn't realize it had changed. I guess that's a story I'll save for the Gilmore Girls special. But so I was like, oh crap, I can't watch anymore. And then I was like, what am I going to watch now? I have nothing. And I needed to put something on while I was like cleaning the house. And then I was like, oh, Friends, because I kind of was beginning to feel like maybe I'd grown out of it and like the laugh track was too obstructing. But actually it was just really, really good, and like remains one of my favorite shows, I think, because it just toes that line between like genuine, just casual fun, but actually with character development and stories that make sense, which I think is very important in a show like that.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, no, and you bring up a great point, because that is hard to do with sitcoms sometimes. I feel like mm-hmm. sitcoms are, they very easily fall prey to the lack of character development after a few seasons pass. But things like Friends and like How I Met Your Mother, things like, I feel like they do a really good job of making sure that these characters grow as the seasons grow.
Yeah.
So
yeah, Friends like is so, and Friends is like almost has as like it has as good continuity as pretty much any drama that you will see. And I was like, I've been listening to some interviews with the writers that were like, yeah, every time we wrote a line for someone or made a decision for them, we went back through the show's entire history and we were like, will this work for these and these and these reasons, and is this something that this character would say, blah blah blah. And I think like it really shows, because you can pick up any season, you can be like, oh, you know, this is when Ross is feeling this for these reasons, and he's reacting to this because of what happened 3 seasons earlier, and blah, 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 blah. And I think that, like, it just makes it so much more hashtag rewatchable.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So that's what I've been doing. And we're going to round off the show today with listener feedback. We have a lengthy comment from Hypable, from Shannon Kay, that we had to cut down a little bit. But I'm going to let Pam take what's left of it, and then I'll take the reply from Melissa.
Okay, sounds good. Let me just take a sip of water. I feel like I need to prepare for this
prepare
comment.
Yourself.
Okay, so Shannon Kay wrote to us over in the comment section of the latest show notes on Hypable.com, and she says, one, Anne of Green Gables. I'm saddened beyond belief that none of you have read Anne of Green Gables. I loved the books and the miniseries as a child. Anne/Gilbert was definitely my first ship before I knew what a ship Aww. Was. That's so cute. I think mine was Zach and Kelly, by the way, from Saved by the Bell, in case you guys are curious. I'm very excited about this new series. If they do it right, it will be amazing. I still think that the 1985 one is one of the best book adaptations ever. They could do so much with an 8-episode series, and there's a chance of it being renewed and adapting more books. I even think that the themes of bullying, etc., are truly in the source material, so I don't feel like it would be something they are weirdly adding. I'm especially excited about there being a Netflix series that the whole family can enjoy. I have a 5-year-old daughter. If it's not family-friendly, they're doing something wrong. That's a very interesting point.
Mm.
She also
I
had
realized,
some...
Oh, go on. Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, I realized after we recorded the show that I had messed up Anne of Green Gables with Heidi, which were like sort of those kinds of series. And then people on Twitter were like, how could you do that? One is from Canada and one is from like wherever, it's from Netherlands or whatever. And I was like, well, when you watch kids TV in Denmark, it's all dubbed in Danish. So how would I know? Mm-hmm. Like, they're literally just girls with like braids on hills in the wild.
Right.
You know, so anyway,
I think Shirley Temple does a rendition of Heidi, I think. And I think that's the only reason I know what that is. For Smallville, she writes, I love this show. I watched it mostly from when it first aired. It went for 10 seasons. So it began right after I graduated from high school and ended just a couple of months after my daughter was born. I always liked Superman. There are definitely things that frustrated me about Smallville, but one of the things they understood was the character and person of Clark Kent. My husband and I have rewatched it a few times. Once I did this massive TV playlist in air date order with Gilmore Girls, Smallville, The OC, Lost, Vampire Diaries, and maybe some other shows I've forgotten. It was so much fun to see guest stars go on from show to show and then get their own starring roles. Look for Adam Brody, Ian Somerhalder, Paul Wesley, for example, who go each through the last 2 seasons. That's pretty cool. Although that doesn't make sense in terms of like the CW. I can't remember if they're in Smallville or not, because I feel like the CW treats their people very well. Like very often you'll see them like jump from show to show, which I think is really, really nice.
Mm-hmm. And Melissa has a reply to Shannon Kay. She says, I'm a big Smallville fan too. Every time someone on the show mentions it in regards to rewatchable, I get giddy. It's such a fun show that not only portrays Clark really well, but I have yet to see another retelling of Superman with a better Lex Luthor or a better Jonathan Kent. When Man of Steel came out, one of the things that was praised in that film was how well Jonathan was portrayed. And I was just thinking, yeah, but you basically stole Smallville's portrayal of him. It's one of those shows I'm always tempted to start watching again. High praise for Smallville. It's definitely a gap in my pop culture knowledge.
I think that when you get around to it, you'll really, really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope so when I eventually get around to it. So moving into tweets now, sort of going along the theme of shows that people are rediscovering. Pam said last week that you have been watching Felicity, and Raven says, I love the Felicity mention, been rewatching it and coming to the end of last season. Lots of relevant issues even today.
That is very true. Actually, I'm about 10 episodes into the first season. I've kind of just been watching it here and there because it's not like a Gilmore Girls thing where I can like walk away. Like I want to be invested in it. And she's right. Like they tackled just in the first season, like the idea of rape and done so well too. And a bunch of other stuff like sex, like all the stuff that you would assume would happen in college is covered here. And I think that that's really great because I'm sure at the time it was very revolutionary to have a show that was so open. like this mm-hmm. on, because you're thinking about it, it was like started in like the late 90s, like early 2000s, when all of this was a little taboo at first. So it is like, it's really nice to see that like a lot of these issues still hold up, even if they are more relevant in today's television than they were mm-hmm. back then.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. So do you want to take Rachel's comment?
Sure. Rachel says, totally agree with Eric on the Cursed Child special, that asking Rose out was a cop-out. Why? Just why? Rachel, these are questions we're still asking ourselves, so you're not alone.
I know. That's like, it just added insult to injury for me. Like, it was like, not only did they want to make absolutely sure that no one had any thoughts on Scorpius and Albus potentially being canon, but they also just wanted to use this female character who had been excluded from the actual action of the story as a romantic, you know, prop. And that just upset me so much for so many different reasons. So I don't know why.
Abby linked us to a USA Today story, and she said, I can't remember who still watches Supergirl, but this is really cool. And it is super cool. It's one of the, sorry, I have to open up the article because I can't remember her name. One of the Supergirl stunt women people, her name is Jessie Graff. She was on Ninja Warrior, and I guess she made history. This is so amazing. You guys should really watch this, because she makes this whole, like, what is it, like, obstacle course, I guess that you would call it, look so easy, but it's probably so, so hard in real life. And I guess she completed the whole thing with about 12 seconds to spare. So it's just amazing to watch her go. I don't know if you had a chance to check this out, Selena, but I mm-hmm. saw it floating around on Facebook, like, all week, and man, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's awesome. And, you know, as seeing a Supergirl fans should be very proud of her, but it's just, in general, really, really cool. Really cool accomplishment. So thank you so much for those tweets. And we have one thing we want to round off the show with today, and that is an iTunes review. We ask you guys, we're kind of bad at remembering to ask for this, but we do occasionally ask that you go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. And the reason we're like, give us 5 stars, isn't because we're like, yay, 5 stars, we deserve it. That's a weird thing to say, but it's because if you give us 5 stars, then that really helps us in the rankings on iTunes, and it helps more people find us. It helps more people sort of contribute to the community of the show that is growing. It helps us get more guests on for specials, and it just allows us to do a lot more with the show than we're currently doing. So please, if you haven't done it yet, consider heading over to iTunes and giving us 5 stars, and even more importantly, subscribe to us via iTunes. So we did get one review, which is from AQT Benz, that says, such a great show. This is one of my favorite podcasts. It's a perfect way for me to keep up with pop culture news, and it feels like a chat with some good friends. Definitely recommend. This made us so happy. Also because that having a chat thing is pretty much what we're going for. So yeah. It's very, very it's very good that is working.
And it also, like, it feels like that for us sometimes, so it's nice mm-hmm. that feeling comes across when you guys listen. It gives us all the warm
for
puppies.
Sure. The most successful shows that we've done have definitely been the ones where we just have a conversation, as opposed to, like, so what do you think of this, and this is very nice, okay, moving on. Like, it's that's not the kind of show that we want to do, so we're very happy about that, and we're sort of striving to give you guys that kind of experience every week. And for starting next week, we'll actually be changing our schedules a little bit because of all of our other commitments, and hopefully finding a time that isn't last week's, like, 6 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock at night for everyone who were just, like, exhausted, because that's not the kind of show we want to put out there. We want to give you guys the news and have a conversation and not just be like, oh. So look for some changes in scheduling. We'll let you guys know about that on Twitter, and you will also find out more about our upcoming specials, including, of course, the Stranger Things special that you guys asked for and that Kyle is putting together. We're going to be asking you for feedback, so make sure you send that in to us along with your thoughts on this week's news stories. We would love to hear your thoughts on the James Bond casting list in particular, as well as, you know, your thoughts on Beauty and the Beast and the new pilots, the King Arthur. I mean, please send us your thoughts / alternate pitches / fanfic ideas for the King Arthur procedural to give me and Pam some inspiration.
Yeah, we'll be working on our own pitch for it.
We'll be presenting our own pitches. No, yeah, I can't promise
we
that.
We too are going to do pilot season. Oh my gosh, we're so ridiculous.
Oh, I want to put a pitch together for an alternative.
Why? Mm-hmm. You know, we have nothing to lose at this point. I really feel like we have a good shot at getting something greenlit.
I know. It's going to be called Murther the Show.
The untold story that everybody wanted but didn't get.
American Murther story?
An American Murther story.
Or Murther mystery. You know, playing with the...
But you don't do procedural, so we might have to nix that idea.
It's going
to
be an anthology of Murther through the ages. Yeah, perfect. Like, every time he gets reborn.
Stop.
Isn't that a good idea?
Yeah, but did you see the new trailer for A Dog's Purpose? Because that's basically what that is. So,
this is
a side note. Sorry, guys. This is the bonus news story for you all. Josh Gad has a movie coming out early next year, and it's called A Dog's Purpose. Basically, he plays a dog that every time he dies, he gets reincarnated as a puppy right away. And he goes through all these different lives, and he's not really sure like what his life's purpose is, and he's not really sure why it happens. But he's like, hey, I guess my job is to make you laugh and love and all that stuff. And so in the trailer, you will see that his first life is as a dog named Bailey. And then later on in life, he comes into contact with his first owner, who is now a grown-up, played by Dennis Quaid, and it just looks like
if you go see this,
you're going to need to grab all the damn tissues because the dogs keep dying.
Oh my god. Yeah. That's like brilliant and so cruel.
So
I can't believe.
Brilliant and cruel is what our show is going to be called. When
wow.
We
well,
the
I was
going to
say.
The ages.
I'm kind of upset that Josh Gad just retroactively stole my idea, but Hollywood recycles stuff all the time, so this doesn't kill
They've
my
They've never done it with humans
pitch.
Before. It's fine. It'll work. It's fine.
Exactly. And Arthur is just like this dog that, oh my god. Anyway, the story writes itself, you guys.
Oh my gosh.
More on that next week, maybe. but thank you guys so much for tuning in. We're going to let you go now. We're not going to keep talking about Arthur and Merlin until like some
That's going to happen off screen.
Yeah. But for now, this is the end of Hype 112. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you next week for Hype 113. My name is Selena.
And my name is Pamela.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. So hopefully we still have listeners after that.
I know. Those are the only listeners we have left at this point. Let's get real.